pretty simple and beautiful text that Jesus tells us that if we're children of God, we'll be like our Father. If we're born of the Spirit, as he says in the Gospel of John, that Spirit will make us, enliven us to be God's children. And children look like their parents. And he tells us in this text for today precisely the way in which we're supposed to look like our parents, our Father. We're supposed to look like our Father in the sense that we don't treat other people in the ways in which the world treats other people. We don't treat other people in a kind of economic fashion where I'll do something good for you if you can do something good for me. I'll lend to you if you can pay me back with interest or something like that. And so the examples he gives is only loving those who love you back or only greeting those who will greet you in return. But instead, our Father in heaven is merciful to everyone. He makes the rain and the sun to fall upon both the righteous and the unrighteous. He's always, as we sing in the Trapari, always trying to draw everyone into the net, always trying to let everyone know that they're loved by him. So if we're his children and we look like him, this is the way that we're to look like him, to treat every single person with this love that comes from him. This is a common theme in all different sorts of contexts in the Holy Fathers. St. John Chrysostom is talking about the giving of thanks and how important it is to give thanks not only in every situation, but for everything, he says. And he says, if we just give thanks for the things that we think are good for us, we got a raise, or somebody said nice things about us or to us, or a big harvest this year, whatever it might be, then he said, well, we're no different than the pagans. The pagans give thanks for all of the things that they think are good for them. But he said, we need to give thanks for the plague. And when the harvest isn't good, he literally says, plague. He says that Christians should be able to give thanks for those things that don't look like, in our human eyes, in our human ways of thinking, worldly ways of thinking, I should say, they don't look like they're good for us. But if we've really been born of the Spirit, if we're really children of our Father, then we know that everything that our Father gives for us is ultimately for our salvation, healing for our soul. It can be transformed or changed, transcended in such a way that while it may cause harm to the body, it will be a means of bringing life to the soul. It may bring harm to our reputation, but it will bring life to our soul. It might be difficult for us to feed or care for our family, but it will bring life to our soul. And so it is that in all the different walks of life, we're called not to expect the world to live like the church, but rather to expect the church to live like the church, to not succumb to the ways of the world and the way the world thinks about, especially relationships, including its relationship to God. It's really very, very simple teaching, and we might think it's too hard or too impossible for us, but Jesus didn't think it was too hard or too impossible for us because he instructed us to live this way. He wasn't expecting us to live this way by our own strength, as if this is the requirement for us in order to deserve God's love. He meant it in just the opposite way. If this seed of life is placed in our hearts, then this is the way that seed is germinating and growing up and manifesting itself in us. This is the direction of travel in our lives. And that is the Holy Spirit who is bringing about this change within us. Our responsibility is to nurture that, to cooperate with it, to let God's power act within us, to not feel sorry for ourselves, not to make excuses, simply to turn to God. When we fall, we turn to God. When things go well, we turn to God. And in this way, just like a child grows up and matures, so will in our spiritual lives grow up and mature, and will look more and more like our Father in these ways, and correspondingly will look less and less like the world, less and less like the world who needs to condemn or speak harshly. We don't need to condemn others, no matter how atrocious their acts. When the Pharisees caught this woman in adultery and brought him to Jesus, they wanted Jesus to condemn her. And in the ways of worldly thinking, this was not ways of Jewish thinking, ways of worldly thinking, then Jesus should condemn her. She was caught violating the law. But Jesus wouldn't get pulled into this way of thinking. So he asked, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And he puts his head down and they all leave one by one, because none of them are without sin. He's without sin. He could have stoned her. But he said to her, did any of them condemn you? And she said, no. And he said, neither do I. And so this way of thinking in the world to condemn is because we get this sense in which if we don't condemn, then we're condoning. But Jesus said to her, go and sin no more. He didn't condone her actions, but he wouldn't get pulled into this mentality of having to condemn. This isn't the way of the kingdom. It's not the way of our Father. The condemnation that comes upon us is our own condemnation we do to ourselves. St. Paul says in the Romans, the second chapter, first verse, I might have said this recently, but it's been on my mind a lot lately. When you judge another for something, and what you judge another, you condemn yourself. The condemnation comes from ourself every time we judge another person. He goes on to say, because when you judge another person, you are practicing the very same things. You're doing the very same things. That's our condemnation. God doesn't want to condemn us. He doesn't want us to condemn other people. He doesn't want us to keep distance. He wants to have this showering of mercy and love to everyone. Without condoning activities that are wrong, immoral, ungodly, but not condemning them, but embracing the people in love. If we can live this way, the church will really stand out as a beacon of light, really a place of refuge and solace, a haven for a world that's hurting and crying out for an understanding of mercy instead of justice, which is really just an excuse for dominance and violence and poverty. So let us pray and ask the saints to pray for us, that God will give us and will bring to fruition in us this character, this life that really reveals that we're his children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.